For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
I want us all right now to predict on this beautiful Football Friday the final stats for Daniel Jones. And you can include benched in the second quarter, if that's really what you want to do. You can include little caveats if you want. And we will take back a listen on Monday, right around this time. Actually, not right around this time, because Monday at this time, we'll be talking to the great Joe Beningo and getting his thoughts on Jets-Titans. So let's say Monday at like 4:30, we will revisit how close we were, because I think the feelings around Daniel are very negative right now. It is a Football Friday where you hope to have some positivity. In fact, I was just lectured by Tiki Barber that I needed to be positive. Mm-hmm. Even if I didn't believe it, I should fake it. He even quoted John Gruden. So I'm curious if all of us will follow the same suit on predicting Daniel Jones this Sunday. And, of course, we'll get back to your calls, 888-808-1019. A lot of football, a lot of baseball still to go. Tiki, would you like to go first?
Yes, I will.
Okay. Final stats for Daniel Jones. Go.
Daniel Jones is going to be 21 for 31 for 294 yards and two touchdowns and an interception.
Wow. I think I know sometimes stats are very tough to like say, well, what did that game turn into? Mm-hmm. But I think every Giant fan would say thank you.
Yes. Yes.
294 yards passing, one
and
pick?
And then four carries for 32 yards.
Look at that. I was about to ask you for that. Okay. 21 for 31, 294, two touchdowns and a pick, four carries, 32 yards. All right. Sean Morash, go ahead.
Okay. I'm going 6 of 13, 62 yards, one INT, one fumble on a carry for his two carries for 17 yards. He will be pulled at the half.
Pulled at half. Wow. Okay. I like that. I mean, I don't like that in terms of I don't want that to be the result, but I like that that was an interesting prediction. Positive Tommy, go ahead.
All right, as bad as DJ has been and is, the Commanders are worse. So I'll give a one rushing TD, one passing TD, 200 yards passing. He somehow, someway makes it through the entire game. It's not the greatest ever, but that's my stat line. Middle of the road.
What about the passing numbers? Like, did you not listen?
200 passing yards.
No, I know, but like 6 for 13, 21 for 31, you know that.
Let's go 11 for 22.
11 for 22. Wow. 11 for 22 for 200 yards?
Yeah, he's going to hit one to neighbors for 90.
I mean, I'm not saying it can't happen. It's just, it's
they're going to have explosive plays because the Commander secondary starts.
Okay. Some big, what was the rushing? What was the rushing?
One rushing TD. Let's say he rushes for 36 yards.
36 yards.
And one passing TD.
I would say those are positive numbers, right, Teak? Those are very positive
numbers. I would agree, especially given the history of Daniel Jones against the Washington Commanders.
So what I've heard so far is that Tommy and Tiki have taken Tiki's own advice. Even if you don't believe it, just be positive and BS, right?
Yeah. What are you saying?
Oh, you want my prediction?
Of course.
So.
And then I'll give you like what he's done against the Washington Commanders.
Oh, thank you for that. I do not think, I've given this a lot of thought, because I think as the week goes on, we kind of have these emotional feelings, and then you get to Friday, and you try to formulate it in a fair and balanced way. We talked yesterday, is Daniel Jones broken? And there's a part of me that thinks he is, and that he'll never be fixed. But even when you're broken, like, I'm going to give you a comparison that Tiki's going to totally roll his eyes about, and he's going to say, I don't even understand that reference. I was a football player, and I was playing at the time. This kind of reminds me of Carlos Baerga, where...
Yes. Whatever you say, I have to take your word for it.
So Carlos Baerga was broken as a New York man. He was not the same player he was priorly, if you will, in his career. But every once in a while, he'd have a game. Mm. And you'd go home that night and say, oh my God, he's back. Like, wow, he's back. I do think Daniel Jones will cause Giant fans on Monday to say, it wasn't that bad. Maybe he's back. So my line is not as audacious as yours, but I will tell you exactly what it is. Are you ready?
Go ahead.
18 for 27, 175 passing yards, one touchdown, one interception, but I think he has a big day on the ground. Nine carries, 52 yards, and a touchdown.
Okay. That's good.
So I think those numbers you would all say, not bad, right?
Right. I was unaware I was working with three guys currently on edibles, but okay.
Daniel Jones in his history, seven games started, 5-1-1. Mm-hmm. There was one tie, as we all remember. Almost 70% completion percentage, 69.68, 1,500 yards, 10 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, and a 98.0 rating.
Pretty good, man.
He's been pretty good.
How many yards has he thrown for in those?
1,510.
And how many games?
Seven. I mean, it averages out to only 200 and so yards, but it's right on par with what you're saying.
Right. That's what I'm trying to figure out. Yeah.
Right. I'm saying it's more of, I think he's having more of an upside because of what Loogie. I think it was Loogie said. Their secondary is bad.
Yeah.
It's young. It's young. They've gotten, they don't make plays. So we'll see. But I think he's due for a rebound game. I really do. And I have to chalk up week one to rust, to not having done it for a long time after his ACL injury. And he's coming off an ACL. And he knows that the pressure is there.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to want to perform, period, because he knows it. Everybody's talking about him. In New York football, there's a lot going on, from Aaron Rodgers, the Jets. The only thing anybody wants to talk about is Daniel Jones.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Well, it's the breaking news. Daniel's not starting anymore, which is wasted our time.
Oh, and this is a good time to be in this town. There's four teams to talk about. We have breaking baseball news.
Okay. What team is it about?
The Yankees.
The Yankees. Breaking Yankees news. What do we got?
All right.
Hopefully not an injury. We don't need that.
I don't know if you want to play the guessing game, but we had this conversation on our show yesterday. The Yankees are moving one of their starters to the bullpen for the next term in the rotation. And according to this, Aaron Boone said.
Oh, the guess.
All right.
Nestor.
You're going Nestor Cortez?
Yes. Because he was good at it when he did it.
Yeah, I think Nestor kind of fits the role. Not the ninth inning role or getting big outs late, but that, hey, starter gets in trouble. I can go to him in the fourth or fifth inning. He's a lefty. He's crafty. I think he fits that role, and I think that's the easiest answer for now because, truthfully, there's a second guy that's going to get moved to the bullpen. Now, that's going to happen come playoff time. We still have a few weeks. This is the Yankees going from a six-man rotation to a five-man rotation. So my brain is debating between Nestor Cortez and Clark Schmidt, that the Yankees may make the decision. You know what? Clark looked good his first game back. He's had a great year. He's been a bullpen arm. Let's get him ready for it. So my brain is debating Clark and Nestor. I'm going to go with Clark Schmidt.
All right, I'm going to read you the full tweet from Brian Hoke.
Go ahead.
Okay?
Let's hear it.
Marcus Stroman is moving to the bullpen for this turn of the rotation.
Wow.
As Nestor Cortez will make his next start.
Wow.
Aaron Boone said they could go five-man rotation the next time through as well. Stroman would be available in relief beginning on Sunday.
Wow.
That's surprising.
I'm very, very surprised.
I'm stunned.
I'm interested to hear the response from Stroman when he gets the media availability.
I think he's going to be nothing but classy and give kind of a toned-down version of what Nestor said.
I know what he's going to say, but I'm interested to hear how he says
how he frames it.
Yes.
I think he's going to
read between the words.
Yeah, I don't even think he's going to say anything that's going to make you think like he's angry or mad. I think it's going to be very similar to Nestor, in which it's like, I prefer to start. But look, here's the reality with Marcus Stroman. You look at his second half numbers, and this is very similar to last year, but last year there was an injury, so we kind of explained it away, and it certainly wasn't even here, so it's not like we cared as much about it. He hasn't been the same guy in the second half. Like, he just hasn't.
Yeah.
And so if you're making this decision just based on who's pitching the best,
right,
and that is the only the way you're doing it.
Right, you earn it.
Yeah. I could see you leaning towards, well, Stroh's had a lot of clunkers mixed in there. He's had some good ones mixed in there, too. Hasn't all been clunkers, but he's had a lot of clunkers mixed in there. Clark Schmidt was pitching incredibly well before he got hurt, looked good upon his return. Nestor has responded. You know, Luis Gil's not an option, in my opinion, the way he's pitching.
Nope.
Rodon is a guy that they were never going to move either. And he's...
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
He's also, like, tantalizing, because there are times in which you look at him and say, oh, man, he looks great. But then there are other times in which he's just very, very mediocre.
Yeah.
So I guess he's the other kind of option if you're doing it based on results. But did he frame it as if this is it? Or can he rejoin the rotation after skipping a turn?
Yeah, I mean, Sean, you have to tell us the context of this. And I know it's just a hoax tweet, but there's got to be other info that's come out around this.
Yeah, so I'm looking for that. We don't have the audio yet. There's just the more questions seem to be more about what's going on with the lineup right now to Aaron Boone. I don't know if you wanted to get into that
at all. Well, we should, so go ahead.
Okay, so Alex Verdugo is playing tonight, and Dominguez is sitting for the second time in three games.
Jeez.
So immediately off the Stroman thing, Boone is being asked about that. Apparently, Dominguez is going to be inserted back into lineup tomorrow, and then it'll be Judge DHing tomorrow. So a lot of moving parts. It seems like they're trying to get Verdugo in there as much as possible. So nothing more on Stroman from there.
Is this just a lefty-righty platoon thing? Is it what it sounds?
No, because he's facing right. They're facing righties, and they're just making changes. It sounds like it's a, we don't want to bench Alex Verdugo completely. We're going to just go back and forth between Dominguez and Verdugo. And it's tough because it's difficult to get Dominguez going when he missed a lot of time this season, and now you're not playing him every day. Yeah. This actually reminds me a little bit of the way the Mets handled Vientos in the past, where he was just never given the full opportunity. And I know it's tough in the middle of September to do that, but they called him up, and he can't play back-to-back games, essentially.
Yeah, it's almost like they're trying to manage the mindset of Alex Verdugo, who was brought here for a reason. He had that dog mentality. We saw it, and we kind of loved it at the beginning of the season. It's waned, but it started to come back a little bit. So you're managing who he is, and that's difficult, especially when it's a young player who might give you a better chance, but he hasn't proven that he's.
We're managing how Alex Verdugo feels, but Marcus Stroman go to the bullpen. I mean, he's a veteran. Like they're both kind of similar in that regard.
Yeah, but Marcus Stroman, we know that he's not going to be. He hasn't earned his way to being one of the starters.
Has Verdugo?
No, of course not. But neither has Dominguez. You know what I mean? So
it's
like
tough
there's an alternative to Stroman. Like, there's better alternatives.
Yeah,
now, there's an argument with Nestor, obviously, if you want to, throw him up on a board and, do the pros and cons. But neither one of the right fielders or left fielders have earned it yet.
Yeah. It's tough to earn it when you don't get a chance to play. That's
true.
The juxtaposition of this. Like, they called up Dominguez, and we weren't even sure, is he going to play every day? Is he going to be a part-time player? I assume this would happen. That was my prediction. Mm-hmm. Then Boone came out and said, nope, Dominguez is here to play every day, and he's backed it up by not doing that. I mean, the truth is, Aaron Boone said one thing, and the actions, at least over the last few days, granted there's a lot more time left in the season, the early returns on his actions is that he isn't playing Jason Dominguez every day.
No.
He also said, I think, Sean, you mentioned this, but it's worth repeating if you missed it, that Boone is committed that tomorrow is an Aaron Judge DH day. And so Verdugo and Dominguez will both be in the lineup. No, I'm confirming you said that, Sean.
Okay,
I'm repeating it because it's breaking news information. People are driving. They may not have digested it.
Yeah.
Plus, your voice is very high-pitched. And so sometimes it's tough to hear it.
That's insulting.
No, it's not. You have a beautiful high-pitched voice.
What just happened to you?
I squeaked.
You're not Burl Ives over there, pal. I mean, you don't have a deep voice.
You don't think I have a deep voice?
No. You just did. No, you don't think I have a deep voice? Your natural voice is high-pitched.
That's why you wanted to work with me and Loogie. You wanted to make your voice sound deep.
It all comes out eventually.
It all comes out. They figured it out. So are you pissed off, Sean, or are you okay?
I'm okay. I'm very intrigued by Stroman. I'm stunned that that happened. Absolutely, because like I brought up, I was just going based off Stroman's own comments about, wanting to be routine-oriented. This goes back to opening day. So that's why I was under the assumption he would not be able to handle this well. Boone is not announcing this without talking to Stroman first, so I'm assuming this is all good. And I like it because it tips me off that they're leaning towards Schmidt, hopefully.
So, no doubt about it. I think that what this tells you is that Nestor will be the next kind of thing to fall.
Right.
That's for the playoffs, though, because you still need a five-man rotation to close out the regular season. And assuming health, I think what we are looking at is Gerrit Cole, Luis Gil, Clark Schmidt, and Carlos Rodon. I think those are your four postseason starters with Stroman and Cortez out of the bullpen. Now, here's the follow-up, Teague, and this is going to be really interesting. How do you use Marcus Stroman out of the bullpen?
Yeah.
Like, is he a high-leverage guy? Are you throwing him into a one-run game, seventh inning? Is he a long man in case your starter gets tripped up? How will Marcus Stroman be used as an arm out of the bullpen? I think that is going to be very, very intriguing.
I mean, at times he has swing and miss stuff, so that puts him in the leverage spot. But I think he's more like Nestor. I think it's just another Nestor option.
That'd be my gut. That'd be my thought on that.
That's my initial take on it.
Yeah.
Is that he's going to be, they have two guys that can take that long relief. and maybe finish a game, right? Just like Nestor did back when behind Clark Schmidt a week or two ago. So to me, that's what I think they'll do.
Very interesting. I'm stunned by that. I really am. By the way, here are the numbers. First half of the season, Marcus Stroman pitched to a 3.5 ERA. In his last nine starts in the second half of the year, again, very similar to last year with Chicago, he's pitched to a 5.40 ERA.
Wow.
So the results have certainly led to this, but nevertheless, very, very surprised.
But it's not blow up. It's not blow up number. It's not like he's pitched in the second half to 7.
No, but 5.4 is not good.
It's not good.
He's been very inconsistent. Like, he's had, like, 6 scoreless innings, I think about 3 starts ago, but then he's also had 3 1/3, 6 runs. So it's been very, very up and down. We get back to your calls. Everything on the table. We've done a lot of Giants, a lot of Jets, now Yankees, Mets as well. If you've missed any of it, you could rewind on the Odyssey app, 888-808-1019. Let's go to Diego in East Meadow. What's up, Diego?
Hey, boys. How's it going?
All's good.
Good. What's up, man?
Wanted to get your thoughts, Tiki, maybe from you also. Boomer Esiason from the morning show seems to think that Dable can't bench Brian Jones this early in the season because of the message it will send to the locker room, being that he's a captain. So just a couple thoughts. First of all, how this guy got nominated as a captain baffles me. He shows less life than Joe Biden. And number two, what message is it sending the rest of the locker room, sending someone out at the most important position on your team who you know gives you no shot to win every single Sunday?
It's interesting. I think that, first of all, the captain thing, players obviously view Daniel Jones in a way that our last caller and others don't view him. Like, I'm not in the damn locker room. But clearly when Giant players, because that's how they vote on captains. Like, the players believe in Daniel Jones. So I got to defend Daniel in that regard, that ripping him being a captain as if it was some kind of, like, rigged vote where Brian Daboll said, you're the, that's not how it works, right?
No,
like, the players
not,
believe in him.
And that's not how it worked this year. I mean, not even last year. Daniel Jones is one of the hardest workers on that team. And everybody will tell you that. Just because he hasn't been good doesn't mean that you can insult him for being a leader in that locker room and on that team. He's been it for the last couple of years, right? He grinds. He hasn't been great, but he still grinds. And, you know, maybe it's just the convention of modern NFL. The starting quarterback is generally the captain. It just is what it is. Let's call it whether they've earned it, put that in quotes, or not. The starting quarterback is usually one of the captains. And Daniel Jones, though, has earned it. So, I mean, from the outside looking in, you can look at his play and say he doesn't deserve to be a captain. But that discounts everything that he does behind the scenes that you and no one else sees.
I'm sorry, because I got to stop doing this. This is like something I do, Tiki, and I feel bad that I do it, but I need to do it. Mm-hmm. And I know, why should I keep blaming a guy that's not here anymore? But, yes, mostly quarterbacks are captains, unless your name is Zach Wilson, who is not a captain. But now that I got that off my chest, do you agree with Boomer's point then, that benching him would be and send a bad message to the room?
No, I don't necessarily agree with that, because Dave's came in and made an edict that you had to earn your playing time. And that's the hard work, that's the dedication, but it's also success, right? It's also being good. I think that Dave's is in a position still, even though it's year 3, where he's got to earn, or the players have to earn his trust to win, right? And so if you consistently prove that you're not helping the team win, you're just not going to play. And I think he should do that. And so even if it is Daniel Jones and even it's a captain, winning has to be the most important thing.
No doubt.
Period. Who gives you the best chance to win? Period.
I completely agree. I've never been in a locker room before, but my assumption would be the guys know who gives them the best chance to win. And because of that, I think Brian Daboll will bench Daniel Jones when he needs to bench Daniel Jones. And that could happen on Sunday.
I don't think it's happening Sunday. I think it's going to go for at least another 2 weeks.
Well, if he's as bad as Sean described, it may well happen on Sunday. Mm-hmm. We'll get
Sean's
back.
A hater on his own team.
Well, no, he's
no,
not.
Self-hate.
I hope you're right, Tiki. Yeah. I don't want to sit there and be miserable Sunday.
Hating
I hope
yourself.
You're right.
You hate yourself, don't you?
Actually, I like myself right now.
Yeah. Why are you wearing a -6.5 shirt?
Because it actually means minus 6.5, which means they're a favorite, right?
Yeah.
It's a betting line shirt.
It is a betting line shirt, and also minus 6.5.
That's inconvenient for my argument, though.
That's true. What do you think was the better shirt worn this week on WFAN? Is it the minus 6.5 by Sean Morash, or the shirt I wore yesterday about how I like Ike and Dick? Of course, we're talking about Eisenhower and Nixon.
We better be.
Well, what do you think? I mean,
because on TV yesterday, Ike was sort of blocked out. We got a lot of tweets about it.
So really?
Maybe you could clear the air here. The great Dwight Eisenhower was blocked out.
I was wearing a political T-shirt from 52 and 56 when Dwight Eisenhower ran for president successfully. And
was it actually a shirt that they produced?
It was a button that was produced back then. I like Ike and Dick. Of course, his running mate was Richard Nixon. Who I think everyone's familiar with. He would go on to become president. And so their slogan was, I like Ike. I like Ike and Dick, because that was his running mate.
When did he change his name to Richard?
I think he's always been Dick.
You know, what?
That is not something that's changed with him.
Let me know.
So when he ran for president, what did his button look like?
I'm not getting into this. I think he was liked. Then he became Tricky Dick. Remember that whole thing?
Please let me know next time you wear that shirt, because I'll wear this shirt. We'll sit next to each other, and then you could block out the Ike part, and then this part, minus 6.5, will be right next to your part.
Can't believe the Ike part was blocked out. That's uncomfortable. I didn't realize that. Back to your calls next, 888-808.
You missed it, Sean.
Totally
missed it.
Did I miss it?
It was as if Zach Wilson was throwing a pass. It sailed way over someone's head.
You know what? Somebody driving in Yapank got it, and that's all that matters.
Okay. Well, during the commercial break, what I'm going to do is I'm going to rewind the Odyssey app, and I will listen to it again and figure out what he said that went over my head.
I like what you did there.
What do the Jets need to do to beat the Titans? We'll touch on that, too. Plus more of your calls, 888-808-1019. More on the Mets and Yankees as the show rolls on. Mets beginning a huge three-game series in Philly against the Phillies. The Yankees continuing their four-gamer against the Red Sox. Obviously, the Giants trying to get off the snide. The Jets trying to get off the snide. As the Jets get set to take on the Tennessee Titans, I think that a lot of us are kind of arrogantly saying, boy, they better win. They better kill this team. And they better win, and they better kill this team. But the Titans have a lot of talent on offense, and that'd be the one thing that kind of scares me going in, Tiki. The Jets couldn't stop the run last week.
Yep.
And if I'm Brian Callahan, the brand-new head coach of the Tennessee Titans, and I got a quarterback who stinks in Will Levis, and let's face it, I don't think he's any good.
I don't know if he stinks, but...
Okay,
I hear what you're saying.
Let me edit that. He stinks as of right now. Is that fair?
He's young. It's only his second year. He's in a second system in 2 years. We know what that formula is. It's not one of success when you change coordinators or coaches, whatever it may be, in a guy's second year. It just gets really dicey. But go ahead.
I think that he has been set up to succeed. He's got a solid offensive line. They used a first-round pick on a left tackle. They signed a center in free agency. They've got a lot of talent at wide receiver. Calvin Ridley, Tyler Boyd, DeAndre Hopkins, who plays a little bit, but plays. Mm-hmm. And they added Tony Pollard. So he's at least given the proper toys to evaluate what he is.
Yep.
But if I'm Brian Callahan, and this is what Robert Saleh needs to change and Jeff Ulbrich needs to change, I would challenge the Jets to prove they can stop the run. Tony Pollard is a solid NFL running back. They just paid him. Not that much, but they paid him. Mm-hmm. And so early on, can this Jet defense, who had such a tough time last week, it seems like they were gaping holes constantly for Jordan Mason, can they stop the run? And that would be, to me, the first challenge this Jet defense faces against Tennessee.
Yeah, of course it is. I mean, until you prove, it's just an ifs MO in the NFL. Until you prove that you can stop what you got beat on the week before, teams are just going to keep doing it. And now, is Bill, Brian Callahan more... is he going to scheme like Kyle Shanahan did? I doubt it. But if the Jets play as poorly as they did in their run fits against the Tennessee Titans, as they did with the San Francisco 49ers, it's almost not going to matter, this scheme. And so it's on. It's imperative that Saleh and Jeff Ulbrich, the defensive coordinator, come out and prove that they can stop the run. Like, force Will Levis to be the one that beats you. Otherwise, teams are just going to keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. It sucks when the MO becomes your MO defensive-wise, becomes they can get run on, because teams are just going to keep trying to run on you.
And look, the Jets weren't great at stopping the run last year, but it didn't become like this major, major issue the way it was in week one.
Sure.
The Jets' strength of their defense is their secondary. Now, there is some concerns about DJ Reed, who is now on the injury report and is questionable for Sunday's game. So hopefully DJ will be good enough to play. And hopefully, I say this with love, because you know how I feel about Sauce. I love Sauce. Hopefully Sauce doesn't get winded. Hopefully there's no sequence in this game on Sunday where Sauce Gardner needs a break.
Again, I don't think it was a winded thing. I think he was just collecting himself. He got hurt. He hurt his shoulder.
I'm responding.
It's painful. It hurts, and it's something you just got to kind of collect yourself about.
I get
it. And really what it is, it's more, I got to get my mind right to take a hit on a hurt body part.
Yes.
Right? That's what it comes
down to. If they said that, I wouldn't have made that snide comment. Yeah, but Robert Saleh said he needed a rest,
But teams don't want to talk about injuries. They're reluctant to do that.
Okay.
They're reluctant to call their guys out. Not even call their guys out, because that's not what it is. It's more, they're reluctant to highlight where there's a vulnerability for one of their players.
Then I would say, I hope Sauce Gardner's shoulder, if that's what it was, stays healthy.
Right. Just I hope your shoulder's feeling better. That's really all it comes down to.
I hope his shoulder's better. As far as the offense is concerned, I had this feeling on Monday, and I hope it goes away. We kind of talked about this with Tua recently, that if Tua tries to come back, I think at first we're all going to be like so nervous for him to take a hit. Mm-hmm. I kind of felt that way Monday watching Aaron Rodgers for the first real time as a New York Jet. There's that fear of, oh my God, is he going to get a hit? Is he going
to
get up?
To me, it was less about getting the hit. It was more what happens when he's got to move.
Right.
Like when he's got to explosively escape pressure. And it happened early in this game where he's just started running around. And look, it wasn't like he was sprinting away from, 300-pound defensive linemen. But he was effective enough to do it. And so as the game went on, I felt less trepidatious about it.
Yeah, I agree. Like, as the game went on, maybe I was just getting used to it. I felt more comfortable.
Yeah.
But now this is week two. This is now norm. Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback of the New York Jets. And hopefully we get to see him on the field a hell of a lot more than we saw Monday because he was barely out there.
Yeah.
I mean, barely was. Part of it was the fault of the offense. Part of it was the defense couldn't stop a nosebleed. I mean, there's a lot of reasons for it. But I am excited to watch this offense go. And here's my attitude as a Jet fan. And I think this should all be our attitudes. I do not care if it's 9-7. I don't care if it's 33-30. I'm sure we'll come on Monday and rip apart the things they didn't do well, but that's much more fun to do after a win.
Yeah, right.
This win.
Yeah, win matters. That's the only thing that matters. And it's a Tennessee team that had a ton of turnover last year. I know we started to talk about this.
Yeah.
We were going to talk about it earlier, but I mean, you got a brand new head coach. You got a new defensive coordinator. I mean, there's at least
new left tackle, 10, new center.
Ten new players, tackle, center, running back, wide receivers, cornerback, Legarius Sneed from Kansas City, Super Bowl champion. He came in a trade. Like, so this team is not bad. Now, they didn't look fantastic in week one, but it's still a team that if they feel like they can beat you.
Well, you know what,
even if they don't on paper aren't a better team than you.
Yeah, here's what they feel like. You know, just 50,000 miles or 90,000 miles. No, 90,000 feet above.
No, 30,000 feet.
30,000 feet.
Right. You go to plane level.
Is that how high planes go? Only 30,000 feet?
30 to 35,000 feet.
Something about
now,
30...
private planes fly lower. They're like 15 to 20,000 feet. But private planes, you get up to 35,000
feet. By the way, in your next contract at CBS, I'm going to negotiate a private plane for you. Nice. I think you deserve a private plane.
Nice. That would be great.
I think you're ready for that. How did you get to Baltimore? Tiki's in Baltimore right now to call the Raven game. You drove?
I drove my electric vehicle, and I thought I could make it, and I got halfway here, and I had to stop.
Oh, no.
It's only because I didn't charge my car the night before. That's my fault.
Did you find an electrical charging station?
At a Walmart.
Really?
Yes.
You had to go to they don't have it on the Vince Lombardi stop on the Jersey Turnpike?
No, there might be, but I was off the Turnpike. I was just past Delaware. And I was able to get to a Walmart.
Oh, good for you.
Which was nice because I went in and got some razors and got some pretzels. What else did I get?
It took 20 minutes.
It was an ultra fast charger, so I was out of there in 20 minutes.
That's nice. My 50,000 feet view on the Tennessee Titans.
30,000 feet.
30,000 feet view on the Tennessee Titans is okay defense, solid defense, a head coach that we have no idea what to expect from. You know, certainly did a good job as an offensive coordinator. Great, what the hell does that mean?
Yep.
A lot of tools for Will Levis. Like, they've set him up nicely. They used a first-round pick on a left tackle. They signed, I think it's Lloyd Cushenberry at center. Mm-hmm. Like, they should have a solid offensive line. They've got the veteran like DeAndre Hopkins who could put his arm around them and say, let me teach you football. You got Calvin Ridley, who's good. You've got Tyler Boyd, who's good. You got a good running back in Tony Pollard. Like, Will Levis has been set up where there's no excuses. We're going to find out what he is.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how I don't know what they are.
Yeah.
Like, talent-wise, they should be decent, but they have a quarterback in which, fine, you corrected me and said, Evan, it's not fair to say he stinks. You're right. It's not fair to say he stinks, but it's fair to say I have no idea what he is.
Yeah. No, you're right. And he's big. He's strong. He gets it from a like a X's and O's standpoint. To me, Will Levis last year was all about executing. It was a tough situation he got put in because Ryan Tannehill started and then he got hurt. And then he kind of got replaced by Will Levis. So he was thrown into a weird spot in Tennessee. But he's had an entire offseason to kind of grow with a new coordinator whose vision is different.
Yeah.
And when you look at this team defensively, they brought in two new corners. Jadobia Awuzie as well as Ladarius Sneed, who I talked about. But I'm not even worried about like the corner help, pass coverage help, because I know that Aaron Rodgers can beat them. You know what I mean? I know that Aaron Rodgers is not worried about who's covering his wide receivers. He's aware, like he's above that. So to me, it's the same thing we saw in San Francisco. It's can you stop the run game of the Tennessee Titans? Because that's what teams are going to do. I'm going to boil it down, and first thing I'm looking for in this game for the Jets is you have to stop the run. Because I know I said this, and it was kind of like my initial thought off the cuff on Monday, but I really believe that the running back is coming back in some regards. Defenses, in a lot of ways, have caught up. They do all of these things to confuse you and to disguise, you know, what coverages they're running. And so the way to take advantage of that when they, you know, put a guy in the box but they're really dropping out into this big shell, run the ball.
Mm.
And I said it before, six teams gave running backs 20-plus carries. They had over 100 yards, including against the Jets. And all six of those teams won. So, like, it matters. You have to stop the run now. It used to be an afterthought, like for the last 4 or 5 years. It is no longer an afterthought.
Coming up at exactly 5:30, we'll go more in depth and make our predictions for all of the local games, the Jet game, the Giant game. We'll each also make a pick. Our NFL picks coming up at 5:30. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Matt in Staten Island. How you doing, Matt?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you?
Good.
What's up, man?
All right, so two things. First off, I want to ask CG a football question, and then I got an apology that I want to give to Evan. But first off,
nice.
CG, I know, listen, this is very big for me. I'm not a big apologizer, but Evan deserves it. All right, here we go. First, CG.
Go ahead.
If you were a fan, and you were looking at the next 3-4 years of football, would you rather be a Bears fan or a Jets fan?
Bears.
Okay, Definitely. Perfect. Bears. That proves my point number one. Second, I called a couple days ago, and I was talking to Evan, and I asked him about a Mets prospect named Chris Bergman. Okay? Now, when I called you months ago, I mentioned something called idiot bets.
Right.
I am the victim of my own idiot bet.
Okay. I remember this.
This is great, because now I feel like a dummy. My friends told me to call up and ask about a prospect named Chris Bergman.
Right.
So, of course, I do it. It turns out that Chris Bergman was the guy that we went to high school with that got cut from the team because he went to a Jets-Oilers game instead of showing up for tryouts. So I thought I was actually asking a legit question, and my friends have been laughing at me for the last couple days.
Well,
I am the victim of an idiot bet.
It is okay. Congratulations on being the winner or loser of an idiot bet. I remember my answer, and this is how you know I am very truthful. I think I said, I've never heard of him. Because the worst thing I could have said, or I could see Loogie doing this, by the way. No, I take that back, Luke. I can see Sean doing this.
Mm.
Sean's doing a radio show, let's say, over the weekend. Are you doing any shows over the weekend?
Yeah, I don't stop working. Tomorrow morning at 7 a.m., Big Blue Kickoff Live, and I will have your Jets and Giants extended post-game coverage, 6:30 to 7:30 Sunday night.
Okay, so he's on the air Sunday
from
night.
From home?
From Baltimore?
Wow.
Yes, from home.
Well, that's home. Tiki's
working.
I get paid
to be in Baltimore.
Yeah. All right.
If someone called in and made up a person's name, would you feel the need and compelled to lie? Or would you have taken my approach, which is, I've never heard of the guy.
I do a quick Google stroke. Okay. When I don't see anything, go, I never heard of him, and I call that person out. I get on the offensive. You're trying to prank me.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Because I could see, Tiki, a lot of people being kind of liars about it and just being like, oh, yeah, I've heard of him.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, football is pretty easy because you kind of know the prospects that are coming out. You just know them. Just when you see them and you hear about them in college. Baseball, I would never get pranked because I'd be like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
He'd never get pranked. Like, I don't know who that is.
I have no idea.
And by the way, even if the guy's real, you didn't say anything wrong. You're just, right. You've never heard of the guy.
Right. Tell me. You tell me.
Yeah. You tell
That's
me.
That's how I learned how to do WFAN radio when I was doing it with Joe Beningo in the overnights. I don't know. You tell me.
What's your opinion on the subject?
Yes. What about this hockey? What about this hockey player from whatever his name is, his Russian name from, Slovakia? Right. I don't know. What do you think? You tell me.
So Tiki's now giving away the secrets that some hosts have to use occasionally, which is if they don't know, just repeat the question back and say,
wait, question with a question.
Yeah. What do you think about that backup left tackle? I don't know. Jeff is calling from Manhattan. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
We're good.
Guys, listen, there's no crying in baseball, man. Boone is there for one reason. Get the best team out there to win that game. You cannot be worried about your guy's ego. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We owe nothing to Verdugo. I mean, he's the worst left fielder in the game. What are we doing?
Yeah. I think that the problem with that, Jeff, like, I agree with your opinion. Play the best player. I think the problem is there's no clear-cut best player yet. You know, Alex Verdugo was relatively hot. I'm going to use those words carefully because, great, you know, he had a 14-game stretch where he put up decent numbers. Yeah. Does that eliminate the fact that he was pound-for-pound the worst left fielder in baseball for the last 3.5 months? No. But Jason Dominguez, who's barely been here, has also not proven enough, but he's also not proven enough because he's not playing.
All right. So, what has he played? 6 games? 5 games?
One, two, three. I think it's 3 or 4. Like,
I mean, it's 5 games he's been here, but he's only played 3.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. They're basically playing him half the time.
Yes.
That's where we're at. So it's this weird spot where I agree with you, and I think come playoff time, the Yankees have shown you that's what they'll do. Remember a couple of years ago, they insisted their shortstop was Isaiah Conner-Falefa. Mm-hmm. It was a shortstop. And then come playoff time, they realized, wait a second, he's not our best option, and they started playing young Oswald Peraza. Mm-hmm. The Yankees will play who they think gives them the best chance to win, but Jason Dominguez has had 14 at-bats, so he hasn't proven yay or nay. And so right now is almost like a feeling out period for Aaron Boone, figuring out, okay, who do I trust the most in
life? Right, it's almost like they waited too long. I know we were screaming for this for a while, but it's like they waited too long, so now there's not enough time to find out. And so that's why you end up getting, I don't want to say stuck with, because I think that Verdugo does have a chance to be valuable in the postseason, but it's why you're stuck with Verdugo, because you just didn't give it yourself enough time to figure out whether or not Jason Dominguez can actually be that guy.
They should have made this move, you're 100% right, a few weeks earlier, and let him play, and then we would have had a better idea, because I think what's interesting to see is the Yankees only have 16 games left. It's the same thing as the Mets. Now, they're in a pennant race. They're 2 games up on the Orioles for the American League East, and they are clearly trying to win, but they're also trying to figure out who plays come October, because they're going to be in the playoffs. The question is it the wild card series or is it straight to the divisional series? So this is the period of time, these next 2.5 weeks, where they've got to figure out who gives them the best chance to win by being the everyday left fielder. And right now, as much as Yankee fans insist it's Jason Dominguez, he's 2-for-14.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not ripping him. I'm just saying he hasn't proven that yet either, partially because they're not playing him enough. It's the chicken and the egg thing.
Yes.
Well, why hasn't he proven himself? Well, because
he hasn't had a chance to.
He isn't playing. That's the problem. We come right back. Sean's got a Cinco de Five-O list. Plenty more of your calls coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, including our picks for this weekend's games and more on what the Yankees need to do to continue their run to the AL East and the New York Mets getting set for a monstrous 3-game series in Philadelphia. Are you invading Citizens Bank Park, my fellow Met fans?
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.